quite often when you talk to financial advisors, they'll say, oh yeah, we got to diversify your portfolio, right? We got to, but it's all within Wall Street. But when Wall Street goes down, it all goes down typically. When it goes up, it all goes up typically. I mean, it's just this, it's not that diversified.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance, the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan, on with me.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Good. So today, because I've been long-winded on our, I think our last few podcasts, I just want to talk about something fun and short. So I really hope everyone enjoyed my Grandma Green's money tree story. It got really deep. I mean, why am I getting so touchy-feely all of a sudden? But I really hope, I don't know, it's really important to me and I wanted to share it and see how that could tie to how you could have your own money tree.
Yeah.
Everyone can have their own money tree. Yeah. So today, I promise I'm not talking about home and auto insurance. I don't want to bore anyone today, but we will talk about it. I'm just trying to find a way to make it really, really exciting. And if I can con my guest to come on, he's awesome. And it was my goal for years to make that guy laugh. I could not get him to laugh. And then finally comes to visit me in Reno. And he actually enjoys my humor now. It's amazing.
Nice.
I've broken through. But a very sharp man, and I'll see if I can get Dan on sometime soon.
I think you've determined that that's like an essential criteria for your ideal client.
I am a very, very, what is? Say that again? I want to make sure I understand what you just said right.
That people enjoy your humor.
Oh, it is. Yeah. If you don't like me, why would you want to, geez Louise, how boring. You know, you got to like me.
Totally. I mean, agree.
It has to be fun, and trust me, you know, here's another boring topic I'm going to do real soon besides home and auto insurance. I say boring, important. I'm finding a creative way to talk about budgeting, and so that one's going to come up too.
Okay.
And boy, that is the kiss of death. You tell someone the budget, people's ears just, they shut down. Most people say, oh my gosh, what a horrible word. What a horrible word. And so actually, I'm going to talk about life settlements. That's what we're talking about today, guys, life settlements. But I'm just curious, Tammy, if I say budgeting, what comes to your mind? What's the first word you think of? When
discipline.
Discipline. Okay, what's another word that comes to you?
Long-term versus short-term.
Oh, wow. You said discipline with pride. Yeah. Sounds like you're a disciplined person.
Hello. Sorry, that was rude. Yes, yes, I am.
You're a disciplined person.
Yes.
Okay. Well, shoot, maybe our next one's going to be on budgeting. So we're going to talk about life settlements today. Life settlements, life settlements, life settlements. So have you, well, of course, you've probably heard of life settlements.
I have.
You know.
That's true.
Yeah. Quite often when I ask people about life settlements, I talk about some of the things I specialize in off Wall Street. I'll talk about how life settlements can be a very powerful way to diversify your portfolio. And quite often when you talk to financial advisors, they'll say, oh yeah, we got to diversify your portfolio, right? We got to, but it's all within Wall Street. You know, they'll put things in bonds, they'll put things in these mutual funds, some aggressive growth funds that aren't as aggressive. And so they have them all these different pots. But when Wall Street goes down, it all goes down, typically.
Yeah.
When it goes up, it all goes up, typically. I mean, it's just this, it's not that diversified. But if you had the ability, so what life settlements are, is, and there's more and more ads out on TV, I'll see it now in the evening, where they'll show this older couple, you know, in their 80s typically, where they just no longer have a need or want or a desire to keep that life insurance policy. Now, if they're my clients, I might argue, you know, that have whole life policies, I might show them a different way to look at it. But a lot of these people are tied up in these universal life policy, et cetera, that they just don't have a need for and they want to get rid of. So they have an option, right? You want to take a guess what their options are? Let's take Bob. Bob is 85.
Yes.
And he doesn't have any children, doesn't have a spouse relying on him for income. He just, and doesn't want to pass any money to, he just, he no longer needs his life insurance.
Right.
Right. The death benefit, the death benefit. But these permanent policies like universal life, whole life, they have, and I've talked about numerous podcasts, they have substantial, they can have a substantial amount of cash value
right.
in them
right.
that's can be liquid.
Right.
And so quite often people will call up the life insurance company and say, hey, I want to surrender the policy.
Yeah.
So say it's $500,000. And these are just, these are all examples. Don't take this literally, people listening, but I just want to give an overall concept what it is. It's almost like real estate. I mean, so Bob's hanging on to this policy. It's got, say it's got 200,000 in cash value in it, and it's got death benefit of $500,000. So he calls up his insurance company and says, hey, you know what? I just want to surrender it. Give me my $200,000.
Right.
Now there might be some tax consequences on it for doing that, but essentially he's going to get a check for $200,000. He surrendered the policy.
Right.
You know, and he's death benefit. The life insurance company, trust me, gladly pays him that money. Because they're not on the hook for the $500,000 anymore.
Absolutely.
And it's, and it can, it, he has the ability to use that and enjoy it. I mean, I said he doesn't have any children, but say Bob does have children or grandchildren, and he wants to see them enjoy it today while he's alive. He wants right. to use that money for some purpose, and that's why he decided to surrender it. Unfortunately, a lot of people just let their policy lapse.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous, right?
Yeah, especially like, after paying in it for years.
Oh, I know. And I'm not saying that to insult the people who own the policies. A lot of it, again, I say this over time. I mean, the financial industry, in my opinion, sounds strong, but in many ways has so failed,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. And to educate their clients. And but that's quite often. I believe the number's like about 90%. Of all life insurance policies.
Wow. Lives. Holy cow.
What an absolute, you know, we're just watching that wealth go back to, as much as I'm a huge fan of whole life insurance. But this example, like with the life insurance companies, a lot of wealth's going right back to that life insurance company.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So here comes another option where they go, you know what? I saw this great ad on TV. I'm not saying to do this, but I'm just giving an example. They see this ad, it's like, you know what? Holy cow. I mean, so-and-so is this big company was going to give me my $200,000 to surrender it at 85. But if I call some of these other companies, they're going to give me more than the cash value and of course, less than the death benefit. So instead of right. getting $200,000, say they get $300,000.
Right.
All right. I mean, it's just an example, right?
Yeah.
Well, and then what happens, those people buying that policy from Bob are as investors, and this is typically played by accredited investors, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's being bought and they're paying $300,000, but they get the death benefit. And so Bob gets more money than he've gotten from the life insurance company and now has the ability to use it any way he wants, gets to see it with his kids, grandchildren, gets to enjoy it today before he passes away. So it's a win-win. And, but then the investors are going to get life insurance. I'm not aware of any life insurance policy not paying out. It is right. such a proven concept for over a couple hundred years.
Right.
It always pays out. The risk though is when they're going to pay out in a year to the investors, they're going to pay out in two, is going to pay out in three, it's going to pay out in 10. That's the
right.
risk.
Right.
But it is very comforting for investors that, you know, most people that are accredited investors mean they're worth over $1 million, essentially, excluding mm-hmm. their house, or if they're single, make over $200,000 or a year. For the last 2 years, or they're married, $300,000 over the last 2 years. I mean, you got to have some substantial wealth. You know, a lot of people, especially when it comes to retirement, they're not worried about the stock market going up enough. Their biggest concern is they just don't want to lose their money.
Right.
And when you look at these rates of return of life settlements, and again, I'm just throwing out examples, but it's very comforting for an investor, an accredited investor to come in and say, you know what? I don't need this money to be liquid for the next 10 years. I just want to protect it. And I'm nervous with it being on Wall Street because it likes to go up and it also likes to go down very fast. And right. so if I had the ability to put $100,000 into something and it could potentially pay out $165,000 a few years later or 5 years later, or 10 years later, that could be okay for an investor.
Yeah.
So having that, and that's, again, these are just examples. I'm just trying to paint it with a broad brush of why this could be exciting for someone, because it's still a strong yield, isn't it? I mean, yeah, if you put $100,000 in something and 5 years later or 10 years later, you're getting $165,000 back, that known is pretty nice, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
It is. And you're not worried about Wall Street. And so that's where it can be really exciting. And it's a win-win. It's a win. When I first learned about Liza Simonds years ago, I was just like, gosh, man, I'm sure I've shared this before. I've always struggled with like aging and death. Like I haven't figured it out yet. And that's like my weakness. And so when it comes to death, I've struggled with it. And so I was like, gosh, man, I just don't like what a morbid topic.
Right.
But when you realize that it's, yes, someone is dying, that's how the investors pay off, is when these policies mature, but it really is a win-win. You're right. Giving someone who has a need for more cash. Yeah, it upsets the life. I don't know if I can say this word. I was going to use a different word. But I'm going to say it upsets the life insurance companies, I am sure, that they're not they're not on the hook for, they're on the hook still for like $500,000 death benefit, and they couldn't buy it out for only 200 grand.
Right.
Now someone else is, you know, but it's good for Bob, isn't it? He's getting, in this example, 300 grand.
And we don't need to feel bad for life insurance companies. I'm sure they're making good money.
No, I don't feel bad for them. I mean, they're all, it's all good, right? I mean, I've read studies where the life summons, because like I'm looking at it, it's like, man, that could have an impact. But when you read and study the life summons is not, from the most recent study, have any impact in a negative way to life insurance companies.
Right.
And so it really is a win-win. And so it's a win for Bob. It's a win for the investors, because Bob gets to use that money today. He gets to use it today. He gets to enjoy it while he's alive.
Yeah.
And the investors, it's a win for them, because you know what? They're not worried about what the stock market's going to do.
Yeah.
They're not worried about what the bond market's going to do. They're not worried about the economy. They're not worried about real estate. You know, what the heck's going to happen with North Korea and America or Syria or Iran? You know, that could have a huge impact on Wall Street if we have some weird war breakout.
Right.
Now, that when you fear always outweighs greed. And so when you can have invest in something that, you know, you don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat, you don't care if you don't have to worry about geopolitical risk, you don't have to worry about interest rates going up. Where that can be a concern, especially like in the real estate market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have these notes that where terms might change after a few years on a mortgage. You know, these adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs. Holy cow, those can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about terrorism either. I mean, so if New York City, I mean, pray that never occurs, but if we have something crazy happen in Vegas again, or something crazy happen in New York City, that obviously the Twin Towers getting hit, 9/11. Huge impact on Wall Street.
Right.
And so so there's a terrorist attack. Pray it never happens. We don't have to worry. Whatever it does to Wall Street, it's not going to have an impact on life settlements. And so I just wanted to give a quick thing talking about how powerful, there's so many powerful investment strategies out there outside Wall Street.
Yep.
And of course, I say it over and over again, I still really like Wall Street. But as a buy and hold strategy, my opinion, very, very scary. And so it's just something for people to study. And it's something I've found fascinating, and it can be a really good fit for certain investors. It can be.
Yep.
You know, and others, especially the biggest risk is liquidity. I mean, if someone needs that money in a year or two, that is not, in my opinion, a smart strategy to put your money into.
Right.
But if you're just trying to create an accumulation strategy, you just want to protect it, you want it to have pretty strong yield. I mean, for me, I put my hands up. I take, if I was given a scenario, it's like, you're going to get 165 back for 100 today, and I don't need that money for 10 years. That sounds really good to me.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's my whole speech today, is just talking about life settlements. Just one teaser out there of a powerful way you can diversify your portfolio and have a pretty strong return, and you have you know, it's just a really strong way to diversify your portfolio. And so that's it on life zones. What do you think?
I like it. You know, the other, I was like you when I first learned about them, I was like, oh, that's a little creepy. But then I realized that sometimes the people who are in the place of need that own the policy, it can be a huge savings for them. So it's either into your example where they want to enjoy that money now with their grandkids and so forth, and just for the quality of life, they want to have it. But the other example that I've heard of is people who are in medically challenging situations and they've run out of money. And selling their life insurance policy is the only way they can pay their medical bills and pay their just regular cost of living expenses. So for me, I recognized how big of a win this is for the life insurance policy holder.
In any transaction I get in, whether it's buying a car, or a truck, or a house, or an investment, I always believe, I'm such a huge believer in win-win situations.
Yep,
you can strike a great deal that is not only great for yourself, but also for the other person.
Yep.
Always. You don't have to hose someone. You can make something, create something of value for the other side. It's not a zero-sum game.
Yep.
You can create something with a lot of value on the other side that's more important to them, him or her, and something that's really important to you, and it's a win-win.
Yeah.
So there you go. Life settlements. All right. Well, any questions on this fun topic? You can always go to my website, engineerofinance.com. People who just like picking up the phone and calling, 775-624-8839. I love answering questions. I love helping people on this topic or any other topic out there. I just really like educating. I like helping. And that's the whole fun topic on alternative investments off Wall Street, talking about life settlements. So you want to do the awesome sign off. And I think next one, I really think I want to talk about systems and goals.
Okay.
We might talk about that one. Does that sound like a good game plan?
Sounds like a great game plan. Now we just have to remember that that's the one we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it could be if I get my secret awesome guest for exciting auto and home, but I don't think it's going to get people eager to listen. So we'll talk about how powerful goals and systems are. And if I got you and brought on the property and casualty guy, then I got you. But I promise I want to keep all these pretty interesting, exciting, and just another resource of information. But I think that's it for me. So Tammy, why don't you do the awesome sign off? Thanks everyone. And Tammy, do the sign off. And I guess we'll call it good today.
Okay, sounds good. I'd have to say this is a record. You were very, very focused on this one, and I think it's a record time. I'm very impressed with you.
Thank you.
So for all of you lovely audience members out there checking out the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green, if you know someone who is looking for an alternative to Wall Street or shoving money under their mattress or in their bank and just letting it sit there without growing at all, please share this podcast with them so that they at least are aware that there are other ways out there for them to grow their money. And thanks to Ken Green and to all of you listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Engineer of Finance podcast with Mr. Ken Green.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.